Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we're going to focus on this idea that believing in Jesus, even though we do, if we take a look at it from the perspective of the world, it really seems like quite a foolish thing to do. We're going to come to that today. Also, too, we're going to come to the topic of complaining. Complaining is probably a common thing for all of us, I would imagine. But let's understand, though, that complaining is not right for Christians. It is not pleasing to God at all. Before I get into the text today, we are in Numbers chapter 21, but what I want to do, though, is go through a series of events here that took place prior to that time. So prior to our text today, we think about the people being there at Mount Sinai. So they've left Egypt, they've gone to Sinai. Now they did receive the Ten Commandments there, but what else did they do? They grumbled and complained, they made the golden calf and so on. It was quite a mess. But even with all of that, what did God do? God forgave them, and when they left, they were heading for the promised land. And then on the journey, though, they complained about not having meat to eat. Was God happy about that? He wasn't. God said, I'm going to give you so much meat, it's going to be coming out of your noses, is what he said. And God sent so much quail that it was about 36 inches deep in the entire camp of quail. So God overwhelmed them with meat. God was not happy about the complaining. And then we come to the very sister and brother of Moses. And what did they do? They complained about Moses. More complaining. And then we go further and we see now they're on the edge of the promised land. And they decide to send spies into the land to check it out. And when they came back, they said, oh yeah, it's a great land. But 10 of the 12 spies, they basically complained in a sense and said, God, we can never take that land. You're offering it to us, yes, but we could never do it. And God was very unhappy about that. They did not trust in him. And what did God do? God said that every single man is going to die in the wilderness and is not going to enter this land flowing with milk and honey that I'm giving to you. God wasn't saying, you go and take the land by your strength. God was saying, I'm going to fight for you and I'm going to give it to you. But they did not trust in the Lord. Out of all the men, only Joshua and Caleb entered. They were the only two spies that said, yes, it's going to be very difficult, but our God is almighty and he can do it and we're trusting in him and let's go. They did finally enter years later. And then some other events had happened. So, like I said, the Lord did decree death upon those who were unfaithful. And then we come to the account I touched on a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, how they complained about Moses being the leader. Remember what happened? The Lord opened the earth and swallowed up those men and their families and their possessions, so he swallowed them up alive down into the earth. The Lord is not happy with complaining. And then we see even Moses get all angry, and in a sense, he was complaining. The Lord, prior to this time, had told Moses, go to the rock, take your staff, touch the rock, water is going to come out. And keep in mind, water for millions of people coming out of a rock. How much water was that? Wow. This time, though, the Lord gave Moses very specific instructions. I want you to go to the rock, and I want you to speak to the rock. Don't touch it, speak to it, and I will bring forth water. What would speaking to it do versus striking it? Speaking to it would say, God is giving us the water. Not Moses, God is doing it. What did Moses do? He was so angry with everything that was going on, he went to the rock and he struck it twice. The water came forth. However, though, God was so upset that he said, Moses, not even you, the great leader of all these people, not even you will enter the promised land because you did not do what I said. You did not speak to the rock. You did not give me the glory. In a sense, you took it by striking the rock and doing it twice and doing it in anger. And then we're coming now right up to our text, and we see that with the Edomites, with the nation of Edom, now they're wanting to go across this land of theirs. And keep in mind, they're relatives. So if we go back to Jacob and Esau, the Israelites come from Jacob. The Edomites come from Esau. So these are relatives of theirs. They want to simply pass through their land, and they refuse to let them do it. So what happens? Obviously, we get into now even more complaining. Let's see what God did in response to their complaining. So now we are to our text. We're in Numbers chapter 21, picking up in verse 4, and the Bible says, Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people, that would be the Israelites, became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. In other words, they complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. Talking about the manna that God was faithfully giving them 6 days every week. If you take a look at the map there, you can see the red dotted line, and that indicates the preferred route. That would be the shortest way, right across Edom, and they would be right on the path that they wanted to go. However, because Edom refused them to be able to come across their land, they had to take the much longer route if you follow the black line. Think about what had happened prior to this. The Lord had done so much for these people, and yet over and over again, complaining, complaining, complaining. Keep in mind, they were there in Egypt when God brought the 10 plagues down upon Egypt. Do you remember with the plagues how many of them touched all of Egypt except for Goshen, where the people of God were at? Even though they heard about the plagues, God spared them from many of them, but they were also very much aware of them, very much aware of God's love for them, God's care for them, God's great power. And then, of course, we go on to the parting of the Red Sea, to God bringing the water from the rock, to God giving them the manna and the quail, and miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet, what do? They still complain. When I think about it, I am so glad that we are not like them. Well, okay, maybe you're not like them, but I think I'm probably like them. Let's be honest here. Well, do we complain sometimes? We do, but let us understand, though, the complaining does not fit the proper life of a child of God. So today, let us know that complaining is not a good thing to continue. I want to share with you a Bible passage that I came across probably 30-some years ago now, but to be honest, though, up to the point before I read this particular passage, I thought that complaining was like okay with God. I thought it was an okay thing. I would never have put it in the category of being a sin. But notice what it says here, though. This is in Philippians chapter 2. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. So catch the word all, not some things, but all things without grumbling or disputing. So to grumble is to complain. To dispute is to question the will of God. So we should not complain to God. We should not question what God says. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why? The Bible says that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. God is saying to us, we are different. We are his holy children. We are forgiven in Christ. We are on our way to heaven. And for all who do not yet know Jesus, they are not in that same category. They are in grave trouble, and probably in many cases, they don't even know it. The world is living in sin, and they are characterized in certain ways. If we are characterized in similar ways, then the world is going to think we're really no different than they are. God is saying, don't complain, don't question, be different than them so that they can see that you are different. And hopefully they'll say, why are you different? And then we can tell them about Jesus. That would be a great thing to do. Because it goes on at the end of the verse here and it says, among whom you appear, talking about this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So the world is dark and sinful, and when we do not complain, when we do not question, it's a way that we can be a light to those who are in the darkness. So that should motivate us to want to not complain. What should we do in every circumstance? Well, God says be content. God says be satisfied. Let's realize we know from the Bible, God knows everything. God knows everything about everything. So God knows what we need. What does God do? He provides what we need. So the Bible says that we should rejoice always. That doesn't mean rejoice when things are good and easy. It says rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That means when life is going good and easy, rejoice, give thanks. When life is difficult, and sometimes when it's so difficult, we can't even understand why it is so difficult, what should we do? Rejoice. Why is that? That is because God is at work in our lives, and we might not understand it, but think about when we were young children and our parents were over us and our parents maybe told us to do something or they restricted us from doing something. Did we always understand what our parents had in mind? We didn't, but yet probably in almost all cases, our parents really cared about us and they were really telling us to do something or not do something because they loved us, because it was truly best for us. God is certainly doing the same things. Therefore, when we think about it that way, when we have this bigger perspective, then we can truly rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Well, so far we've only come through a little bit of our text. We've talked a lot about troubles leading up to it. We've talked a lot about complaining, but now we're coming to what God did in response to their complaining. So now we're in verse 6, and the Bible says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. So when the people grumbled, when they complained, what were they really doing? They were pushing God away. Is that a good thing? By all means, it's not. So think about when a child is going in the wrong direction. What does a loving parent do? A loving parent disciplines that child. Discipline is always an act of love if it's done in a proper way, and the discipline comes to get the child off of the bad path and to get the child onto the good path. So discipline is always a positive thing. What does God do? When we are complaining, we are drifting away from God. We are driving a wedge between us and God. God doesn't want us to complain, so sometimes God does something significant to show us our sin in order to draw us back. Think about the fiery serpents. Very unpleasant, but yet highly effective in getting the attention of the people in order to lead them to repentance, in order to draw them back to God. What happened? Exactly what God was hoping would happen. Many of the people, they were sorry for their complaining. The Bible says, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. What happened? Moses interceded for the people. If you think about what was going on there, the people were definitely between a rock and a hard place. Why am I saying that? Well, they had complained and grumbled against Moses. He was the leader of the people. They had complained and grumbled against the Lord. They were being bitten by snakes. They were dying from the snake bites, and they had nowhere else to go other than to go to Moses, the one they had complained against, and ask him to go to the Lord that they had complained against. But yet the people were in such great distress that they swallowed their pride and they went to Moses and they said, Moses, please, we're begging you, please go to the Lord and ask him for relief from these snakes. What did Moses do? Did Moses say, you guys are so rotten, I'm not going to do that for you, you can go ahead and die? Maybe his old nature was thinking that, but Moses, being the great man of God, he humbly went to God on their behalf, and God heard that prayer. Going on in our text, the Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. So think about that. The Lord says to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Doesn't that seem kind of odd? If the serpents are the problem, why would you then make another serpent to overcome the problem? You'd think you'd want something like the opposite of a serpent, but no, that's not the case. He says, make another serpent, and then he says to put it on a standard. What does that mean? That means to put it on something where you can raise it up real high so the people are able to see it. Keep in mind, there's a very large number of people out there in the wilderness, and you had to put it on something and put it up so high that for people even far away, when they're bitten by a snake way over there, they're able to look and see it. The Lord told Moses what to do. Seemed kind of foolish to me. But yet, what did Moses do? How did he react? He did not question the Lord, but he heard what he said, he understood it, and he did it. God wants us to be that way too, not questioning him, not trying to have to understand everything he says, but simply to say, he did it, I can be confident that it is best, and I'm going to do it. So that's what Moses did. And then, coming here near the end of our text, it says, and Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Imagine if you were there among that multitude of people and you were bitten by a snake and you were in much pain and your life was ebbing away, you were dying, and Moses shouted, you don't have to die. It's going to be okay. Look over here. Look at the fake snake I have made, and everything is going to be fine. Doesn't that sound like so foolish? Like you're bitten by a snake. How can looking at some fake snake up on a standard, how is that possibly going to be helpful? But yet, what happened though? The ones who did what Moses said, the ones who looked in faith, understanding that the Lord had told Moses what to do, Moses had done it, so the backing is by the Lord God Almighty, and when they looked in faith, they lived. They got better from the snake bite. Well, let's conclude in this way for today. So a truth today, let's understand that God is not happy with complainers. I highly doubt that any of us will go forward from here today without another complaint in our lives. Some of you maybe already are complaining, thinking, why doesn't he just end the sermon already? It's too long. So it's so easy to just fall into complaining, so easy. But let's understand, though, that it's not a good thing, and there's a good purpose for not complaining. May God help us to catch ourselves before we complain and rather give thanks for every circumstance. Also, too, what's relevant for today, let's understand that a loving father, he takes action to discipline his son to get him off the bad path and onto the good path. Our Heavenly Father does the same thing. If we begin to complain, what is our Father in heaven going to do? He's going to step in and he's going to discipline us. Do we want that? We don't. It won't be pleasant, but he will do it because he loves us. How do we avoid the discipline? Don't complain. It's that easy. Okay. And then what about some inspiration? Well, even though it is great foolishness in a sense to look at a fake snake, the people who did it in faith, they lived. So God is saying to us, take a look at the cross. Take a look at this man named Jesus who was nailed to the cross. He's a man who lived 2,000 years ago. How could a man living 2,000 years ago help me today? And if you look at it, I mean, he's dying in a horrible form of capital punishment. How could a man like that ever help me? But we should be so thankful, though, that God has opened our eyes to the truth, to understand that the Bible is God's holy word, to understand that Jesus is his very son, to understand that he did live for us. He did live that perfect life that God requires of us. He did receive all the wrongs that we have done. He did receive the wrath of God upon himself. He did declare his work to be finished. He opened heaven for everyone. Thank God that we have the gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus, and though we have done countless wrongs, by God's grace, we are looking and we are living now, and through Jesus, we will live forever with God in an awesome place. Let us know how greatly we are blessed. Let us give thanks. Let us go forward without complaining. And let us shine the light of God's truth, so that others might know him too. Let us pray. Father in heaven, though we are probably mocked by many unbelievers in the world, we are so thankful that by your grace, we believe that Jesus is your son, that he is our one ticket to heaven, and that we have saving faith in him. We pray that you would curb our complaining. May you fill us with much gratitude, and may you make us lights to shine day by day, moment by moment, in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.